Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of The Yard. Hope things are well with you. Should be a good week. Kids are out of school. Many people are on vacation. Others are planning vacation. We got a lot going on around here. Maybe we'll take some time off next month. I got to get back up to Arkansas and see my grandson. I got to also probably run a spa for a couple days so the bride can get out there and meet the grandson. Probably need to let her go before I go again. You know, it's tough to get both of us together with our work schedules, but hope that you get out and see some friends and family and just kind of enjoy life a little bit. I mean, you know, what's life without a little whimsy, right? We got to get out and enjoy life. There's a lot more to life than just raising kids and paying the bills. And sometimes that's all that life is, right? But you need to make some plans to be with each other, to get out and do some things. My personal opinion is, and I got something else kind of, I don't know, difficult to talk about later. Not for me personally, but we're going to talk about this a little bit later. But I think depression is, a lot of that is kind of rooted in not having or making opportunities to get out and go enjoy yourself. I'm the kind of person, too, sometimes I just got to get out of the house. You know, I kind of recognize when I'm getting a bit reclusive, which isn't always best for my mental health. You know, I'm a guy that's very task-oriented. I love what we do. We spend a lot of time doing that. There are some days I work 16, 18 hours a day, and I love it. You know, the only time the TV is on here in this house is when the bride gets home and she's just kind of ready to unwind, or there's a ball game on that I want to watch. That's pretty much it. I don't watch a lot of TV. I take a lot of joy out of what we do. And but there, you know, there are other people out there that their work and their jobs are a real grind. You know what I mean? And they may be happy doing what they do, but it may not be especially rewarding. I've had those jobs before too. I won't name the company, but I worked for, you know, Fortune 500 company years ago, and you know, there are a lot of days I would get up while Dana and the kids were asleep. I would come home and they were asleep. There's no quality of life in that. You know, you take a little bit of satisfaction from being a good provider, but what good does it do to make some extra money if you're never around to help the family spend it? Or you can't go out and, you know, take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese, or, you know, I'm an old guy now, you know, build a bear, all that kind of stuff. You know, we used to love to take the kids to Mall Louisiana and Perkins Row and places like that. And so, you know, you got to get out and enjoy things. And there are some things, guys, I'll be honest with you, there are some days that I get so busy and caught up in what we do, like I won't go to town. I mean, just the thought of going to town just seems so daunting. I live out in the sticks, but it's just like, man, I really didn't want to go anywhere. And sometimes I will make myself get out of here and run up to the fast break and get a plate lunch or whatever and just kind of speak to the employees up there. Great people up there. I enjoy that group up there just to have some human interaction. You know, and then all of a sudden I felt better. You know, so you come back. But, yeah, it's easy sometimes to get caught up in the grind of life and you kind of forget what matters. I've shared with you guys before, and if you can ever find one of these, I don't even know if they still do them. Again, I'm an old guy. But I went to this Franklin Covey planning class about what matters most. Really taught me how to organize my day. It was a game changer for me. It really was. I've always been the kind of guy that kind of flies by the seat of his pants because I always felt like I was above average intelligence. And I didn't realize the stress I was bringing on myself by not having an organized plan. One of the first things that I do every day, I have a little notebook I keep out in front of me, these little composition notebooks, and I write down all the things I want to get done. And then I scratch them off as we go. And there's something euphoric about scratching that off, right? You get that thing done. But I take a lot of joy in having some organization to the day and not just be a reactor to the day. I mean, there are things that pop up with us, man. You know, we have, you know, breaking news sometimes that we don't break. You know, we have things that pop up. We'll have a kid that'll go in the portal or a kid that'll commit. And we got to be able to pivot. But you can't sit around and just depend on that. You got to have a plan. You know, we do at least 10 stories a day over at Gene's page. So one of the first texts I send each and every day is, hey, what does the day look like? What's everybody got planned? Number one, it's to relieve my own anxiety to know that, hey, we do have a plan. But number two, it's to get those guys in the habit of every day getting up, having an objective each day with the workday. And I think a big part of that, too, is, having some purpose. You know, understanding that, hey, there's expectations of me every day. It's not just, well, I'll just wait around if something happens. You know, you got to go out sometimes and make some things happen, but you got to make things happen for yourself too. They're on the enjoyable side. And I share that, man. Goodness, let me think here for a second. Let me do the math. I guess I'll be 53 here in a couple weeks. I took that class, I guess, in my 30s, and there are still things that I still do that I picked up in that class. And one of the most important things is, I would think of something, you know, during a weekend off or some time off. And then rather than record that somewhere, I would just like keep it like in the front of my mind. And so that's not fair to family. It's not fair to yourself. And that sounds a bit dramatic, but it's not. So instead of you thinking, oh my gosh, when I get back to work on Monday, I got to do this. What we did, I had a little notebook I kept on my nightstand. And when I would think of something work-related, I would just go write it down. And then it freed my mind up the rest of the weekend so I could focus on the people that matter the most to me rather than constantly being in a state of, you know, hyper-awareness about work activities. It changed everything for me. And so now, you know, of course, I've got notes or I'll send myself a text. It's like, hey, don't forget to do this. You know, write it here in my notebook. Again, I just encourage you, have some organization to your day. That's not just about being task-oriented. It's about improving the quality of your life. That sounds so incredibly small, and it is. But if you get in the habit of doing those things, you'll be amazed at, number one, how much more productive you are. But number two, when you're at work, you can focus on work. Because you know when you're going to be with friends and family, you can focus fully on that. And it's important to have a balance. So incredibly important. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have loved them at long last. We have since they basically have opened. I think I shared with you guys. I think me and Hey Dad were among the first 500 customers. That number continues to kind of bounce around in my memory. But we went there, I think, maybe the second day. We got in there and had a great experience, and they've been with me for a long time now. And one of the things that when I get ready to think about my week, I always say, you know what, I got to get some Bulldog Burger Company at some point. When I travel and I'm gone for an extended period of time, I'm thinking about that when I get back. I need to get into Bulldog and grab something. My cousin was in there just the other day, and he stopped a random server and says, hey, is there a kid named Ian working here? Well, just so happens it was my son, Ian. Yeah. And so they had a chance to kind of visit a little bit, and love getting those compliments too from people say, man, Ian waited on us and he was great. We're proud of him too. And I think it just kind of speaks to the organization they run there. I can tell you on behalf of Ian, he absolutely loves working at Bulldog Burger Company. And it's not just the camaraderie of the team, it's the organization, it's the management style. He feels like he is a valued member of that organization. They have made him feel that way. And as a result, he gives better service. He would do that anyway, But I believe that he goes over and beyond because of the people that are in charge of managing him. He wants them to be successful. He wants to do a good job for them. He wants their approval. Those things are important. And I can tell you, two of my children have worked with the Eat With Us group. And even to this day, my oldest daughter, Audrey, will tell you that she continues to have a relationship with all the friends that she met working at Harvey's. And so when you're going to be eating in the Golden Triangle, I encourage you to use an Eat With Us group restaurant. Bulldog Burger Company, of course, three great locations in our wonderful state of Mississippi. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Go by there. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie, I encourage you to just start with the Bulldog. You know, maybe just, I'm just telling you, start there. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog at any point in life. Can you never go wrong with the Bulldog burger itself? Get it dressed how you want to. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. They're happy to kind of prepare that as the meal is winding down. That way you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Now, we kind of ran through this a few days ago, the commitments, and we didn't take a lot of time to really talk about to kind of get you guys up to speed. Because as I shared on the message board earlier today over jeanspage.com, you should certainly come be a member. You can get 50% off the annual subscription price now. The way this recruiting calendar thing works, I think so many of you are kind of like, who committed? What's this about? You know, and I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes there are guys that kind of emerge right before an official visit that we hadn't done a lot of media coverage with. And so we're kind of getting up to speed on them too. And I think the way the recruiting calendar has worked in many respects has kind of stifled some of the excitement about recruiting. Now, to be fair, you know, if Mississippi State was reeling in four stars, the level of excitement would be higher. Right? I mean, it's true. I mean, you had Emmanuel Tucker committed, a four-star, one of the best offensive line prospects in the state of Mississippi. He decommits and then commits to LSU. And so that doesn't do a lot for the old esprit de corps of the Bulldog fan base. But, you know, used to what would happen is we would introduce these guys to you kind of as juniors, and then you would have basically a year and a half or at least a year to kind of get to know these kids, right? And I remember used to, you know, kind of the infancy of it all, the introduction for all of you were like the junior day events. All of a sudden, the guy comes to junior day, he gets an offer. So like, okay, well, this is a young man I need to keep up with. And then you follow him through the process. He comes to camp in June, July, comes to Big Dog Camp. And all of a sudden, you start getting, you know, some evaluations. You kind of get some idea of what he's really about. Is he good enough to play in the SEC? And then you have some guys commit. Some other guys are going to say, hey, we're going to wait and take visits. And then you had the entire football season to kind of watch these guys. And, of course, we and our competitors and people like us would always have updates on, you know, how a player is performing. So by the time they actually took their official visits, which was more than usually in January, you were incredibly informed about who these people are. There was the introduction early in the year. So you had a full year to kind of watch the development of this player and then the timeline of his recruitment. Now, what we're hearing industry-wide is just, you know, we're getting some, right? We're getting some views and some sessions and things of that nature, but it's not with the same frequency it was. You know, what's driving things is like football portal recruiting. Because of the fact, and I think a lot of that is because these guys, players, you can go pull up some stats that they've put together on the college level. You know the needs of your team, and you're going to see an immediate impact from this player. You know, high school guy, it's difficult to get attached, right? Because you may get excited about a recruit, in 2 years he's gone. With these portal players, you're like, I know that I'm going to see this guy on the field this fall. Right? And so we have seen kind of a shift in enthusiasm about recruiting coverage. We still do it. We hadn't changed. But your reaction to it is very interesting. Very interesting. And again, I remember putting up those what we're hearings with during Portal and you know, some of those stories getting 20,000 views. It's crazy. And some of that too is because we often had information that, you know, other sites on the network didn't have. But let's take a look at the commitments from the weekend a little more in depth. State now has 14 commitments. 14, and that's good for 45th in the country. This class is ranked in the top 50. That's not good enough, okay, but it's still a work in progress. It's interesting, too, though. I don't know if you guys have kept up. I suspect not. But I want to kind of bring you up to speed here. Like you say, okay, well, State's got currently now the 13th best class in the country, and I mean in the conference. We would actually have number 12 if one of our players is evaluated. Maurice Jones Jr. has been submitted for evaluation. We expect that to happen in the next 24 to 48 hours. But State is like 0.02 of a point behind Alabama. Now, granted, Alabama's got 7 commitments, including the 5-star. State's got 14 commitments. And behind State is Auburn, Kentucky, Missouri. And again, State's got more commitments from them. So if you look at it from an average star perspective, you know, State's lagging a little bit. We are. And it's a good year in State. It is. And that's the thing, too, that's probably the most concerning for me is we do have a really good year in State, but State is not really a factor with many of the players in the top 10. You know, when the Daddy Dozen list comes out, and that still matters, you know, I don't know how many Bulldogs are going to be on that list. You know, and that's the thing, too. You look at last year. It wasn't a great year in State. We didn't sign a lot of kids in State. And so the thing that I think about, you know, when you go into another Southeastern Conference state and you beat the home school, right, and that's what Dr. Evil quotes, it makes me wonder how much the home school really wanted them. Right, and I'm not being negative, I'm just kind of calling it as I see it. But that's something that I always consider, especially guys from a couple states away, you know. But, again, new players. Jaden Ross, a guy that we've been expecting to commit to Mississippi State since the Bulldogs offered way back, and I guess it was January. I think that's right, January or February. But, yeah, he's a guy that we have been expecting for some time. And then out of the blue, like, he committed to Sacramento State, and some people are, like, freaking out about that. And Sacramento State, I think, has offered about 10,000 players this year. There was even some controversy yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it. There's a 2027 kid that put out he had an offer from Sacramento State, and, like, one of the assistant coaches kind of went after the kid and says, hey, we don't know who you are. We didn't offer you. Now, this is not the first young man that has misreported or falsely reported an offer. But for a coach to go on social media and go after a kid like that, what does it hurt to think that kid has an offer, especially when you've liberally distributed your offers, almost like the Ed Orgeron days where you just offer everybody? I just thought it was poor form, my feeling. And not that I think Sacramento State is a threat to anybody, but that just kind of crossed my mind as we talked about Jaden Ross initially committing to Sacramento State. And, of course, he backed off of that. That was never going to happen. He was never, ever going to sign with them. But, yeah, again, you beat Sacramento State. And then he also had offers from Appalachian State, which was actually his first offer. State was right behind him. Then Arkansas State, Baylor, Central Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia State, Jackson State, Jacksonville State, James Madison, Liberty, Louisiana, Memphis, Nicholls State, South Alabama, Southern Miss, Texas Tech, Troy, Tulane, UAB, South Florida, Texas San Antonio. And so, yeah, not a bad offer sheet, really. I mean, you look at it and say, well, Steve, who are the other SEC schools? Well, you know, a handful of Power 5 schools, obviously, you know, with Baylor, Colorado. But, you know, Vandy, the only other SEC school that was really involved with them. But, you know, it's interesting, you know. You know, and I don't think Vandy even offered him. But yeah, and then the thing that I've learned about offensive line recruits, it's so different than skill guys, right? Skill guys pop in high school. What I mean by that is like it is absolutely obvious that they have college potential. Offensive linemen actually develop at a different rate. And the way that you correlate that is you look at the NFL draft. I mean, how many guys – when you know, the skill guys often come from the Power 5 programs. But offensive linemen, you look up, and there are guys that played FCS football that play, you know, 10 years on the offensive line in the NFL. Look at the NFL draft, and you'll see that offensive linemen come from everywhere. And there are a lot of guys out there, including your offensive line coach, Phil Oatholt, that actually was a junior college player. So that's one of those things I never.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever trip about offensive linemen that are, you know, 6'6", 300 pounds. Because I figure there's enough to work with there. You know, if they have good enough feet, then you've got an opportunity. Charles Humphrey, of course, another. He was the first commitment of the weekend. Charles Humphrey, another guy that has been with Mississippi State on the radar for a long time. And, again, this is one that we projected to commit. And kind of a similar offer sheet than is Ross. You know, again, it's Humphrey, 6'7", almost 300 pounds, too. But he doesn't look it. Like, he carries it well. Kind of a svelte 300. But he had offers from State, Virginia Tech, Alabama State, Arkansas State, Cincinnati, Jackson State, Liberty, Marshall, Memphis, Ole Miss, Oregon, Toledo, UT Martin. And I had a Bearden High School up there in Knoxville, Tennessee. The ball's not really on him. But, you know, took an official visit to Virginia Tech. So it's not like, you know, State's just getting this guy by default. You know, this is a guy, too, that wanted to be here at Mississippi State. He's been very open about that. And, again, it's interesting that his interest in Mississippi State survived a coaching change at the offensive line position. He loved Cody Kennedy. Cody is dismissed. We bring in Phil Oatholt. And, you know, Oatholt's got to make his own evaluation. And apparently he agreed with Kennedy that this guy could play. And I think Charles did his part, too, to kind of demonstrate his interest on a regular basis. The third offensive line commit of the weekend, actually announced on Monday. Some of these guys committed on Sunday and just announced on Monday, had to wait to get their pictures from their visit from the university. But Dylan Steen is the guy that, as we mentioned before, the younger brother of Blake Steen, and got an older brother in the NFL, played at Alabama. But I think those relationships matter when it's all said and done. But Dylan got offered initially during his brother's official visit out of the portal. Look at the offer sheet here. Bethune-Cookman, Colorado, East Carolina, FIU, Florida Atlantic, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Temple, West Virginia, Western Kentucky. So, you know, a nice blend there of G5 and Power 5. And, of course, you know, he holds multiple SEC offers. And when you look at the pedigree of that family, you begin to think, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. You know, this is a family that knows how to produce offensive linemen. You know, maybe mom and dad should consider having a few more kids. Who knows? Mentioned Maurice Jones Jr. earlier. He was a guy I wasn't exactly sure when he popped up on the radar if he was going to be a take. And as we got a little bit closer to the weekend, I'm beginning to kind of hear more on Maurice Jones and say, hey, I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit when I go in there. 6'3", 210-pound linebacker. And, again, another guy with, you know, an interesting offer sheet. But it's again, it's a blend. I won't say he's highly recruited, but he's not. But he has a lot of G5 opportunities. And Mississippi State, obviously, his biggest offer. And give him credit for jumping on that, right? But you also had attenders from Appalachian State, Central Michigan, Charlotte, Decanes, who we beat in an Orange Bowl once, FIU, Florida Atlantic, Jackson State, Louisiana Marshall, North Carolina A&T, Southern Miss, UMass, and West Georgia. And so my concern with this one, and he looks the part, but the thing that I always ask myself is, you know, how much smarter are we than everybody else? And granted, you got to get some backers. I get it, and I don't know that it's a great year in-state. There's a couple of guys out there that I think could play their way in-state this year. But my thing about Maurice, and again, I'm not being critical of him, but I understand you got to get backers, but I think he probably would have been there later. That's my – but maybe, you know what, you got to trust your own evaluation. And if you're Mississippi State and Coleman Hutzler and everybody involved in all that, you say, you know what, hey, we need this kid. We like this kid. And I can tell you he's absolutely jacked to be a Bulldog. But that's one that I'm not going to sit here and say I scratch my head about because I see enough on tape where I kind of get it. But I don't know that I would have taken him now. And some people aren't going to like me saying that. But I'm just kind of calling it for as I see it. And I think – as the class sits right now, you probably can afford to take a chance on him because of the fact you've got opportunities between now and signing day to make an adjustment if you need to. And he could, you know what, validate your evaluation, or it may change your evaluation. We'll see. We'll see how things go. But as the class sits right now, you've got, incredibly, four players from the state of Florida. That's probably a bit of a surprise, right? You have three from the state of Georgia and also from the state of Mississippi. And again, with a great in-state class, we expected to have a lot more Mississippi players. And ultimately, we'll probably end up signing more from Mississippi than anywhere else. But it's just an interesting dynamic that you have as many from Georgia and more from Florida at this point in the process. Got a couple from Tennessee, one from Alabama, one from Texas. By position, it breaks down with the one quarterback, of course, Brady McQuarter. You also have the running back in Jaden Hill. No need to take another one. One receiver so far. We will have some more information about some other receivers that are coming in this weekend. Four offensive linemen. I think it's a five O-line class, and if I had to pick it right now, I'd say Dalton Toothman could be the fifth guy. And again, that's down between State and Auburn. Got one tight end. We expect to take another one. I think Luke Hutchinson is a guy. It's a name to watch there because of the relationship with John Cooper. Only one defensive lineman so far. We had a bunch of them in last week, and there are some guys we could have taken. And maybe it's best just to kind of be sure, you know. We'll have some more defensive linemen coming this weekend. But, yeah, we got to go get some guys that can play. Got three defensive backs, and, of course, you know, just kind of work through it. You know, really, I guess technically four defensive backs. Jaden Taylor is listed as an athlete, but I like him as a safety. He could play receiver, but I like him as a safety. So, again, you kind of work through this thing. You know, Kobe Barrett, Antavius Watts, you know, a couple safety prospects. How many safeties do we want to take? You know, do you take Iverson McCoy back, you know, if he wants to come back? You know, do you take Tamario Johnson out of Pascagoula? You know, all those things are things you have to consider. But what's incredible to me too, and I think a lot of it, we talked about, you know, the recruiting calendar changing. I think you're seeing a lot more offers extended early. Used to, what would happen is you'd go by and you would have kids come in for junior day, and the only kids you offered at junior day were like basically in-state kids or like no doubters, like guys that you knew that you'd maybe had in camp before, you've had a chance to watch in person before. Then you would get out in a spring evaluation period, and you'd have a chance to see some of those kids. So you'd have another run of offers after the spring evaluation period. We've seen some of that, but not nearly with the same frequency. Because of the fact, guys are not going to camp as seniors. The ones that do are few and far between, at least guys that are going to sign SEC, because they're out taking visits. You know, typically it's the guy that's got a bunch of G5 offers and wants to play in the SEC. Those guys come to camp. And they'll be at camp tomorrow. We'll have coverage. Rion and Jacob Bain will be covering that for us. But, you know, but I share that with you because coaches are having to evaluate quicker. and having to make decisions quicker. And at the end of the day, it doesn't hurt. Kind of back to that Sacramento State coach going after a kid on Instagram. It doesn't hurt a kid to think he's got an offer from you. I mean, it really doesn't. It doesn't hurt him. And it doesn't hurt you. It's basically publicity for your program, right? When a kid's got an offer, but hey, great offer from, you know, and it's not like the Sacramento State offer has a lot of value. And that's not me being critical, but it's not like getting an offer from Alabama where it's just going to all of a sudden be, you know, a lightning rod for your recruitment. People are like, hey, maybe we missed on this kid. Yeah. And then you go watch the tape and say, you know, I don't know if he's quite good enough for Alabama, but let's offer him. It's because of the fact when Alabama won't take him, we'll be there. We'll have a relationship with him. And that's the important aspect of this, too. I think guys are having to extend these offers earlier to ensure that they get guys on campus for official visits in June, which is so wild to me. But that's where we are, right? So you get a bunch of offers extended. It's not who you offer, it's who you commit, right? Because as you guys saw, you know, back when in the bulk mailing era of Ole Miss recruiting with that Orgeron, they offered hundreds of kids. And I remember we used to track all that stuff. And I think the second and third year that Orgeron was at Ole Miss, they offered more prospects than anybody in the country. But it's not about who you offer, it's who you commit. And part of that, too, is, hey, it's good marketing for your school, right? And you think about this, if you're at Orgeron at Ole Miss at those times, and I've said many times, Ole Miss folks love football recruiting and football in that order. But all of a sudden, you have this 247 Sports or Scout.com 4-star that reports that he's got an offer from your school. Well, that promotes discussion. People are like, well, hey, wait a minute. Are we really in on this kid? Is this kid serious about us? Well, then all of a sudden you go interview the kid. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And then it kind of reinforces within the fan base. You're like, hey, we're not scared to swing for the fences. And so all of that is kind of part of marketing your program. That's why, again, I go back to the fact, too, this kid saying he had an offer didn't hurt anybody. If anything, it helped Sacramento State. I think it makes the coach look bad when you go out there and go after that kid. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't hire that guy. I wouldn't. I wouldn't hire him to empty out the trash. Because to me, you're out there, quote, defending your program when there is no loss at the expense of a kid. Right? Why go embarrass a kid? And if you wanted to, you could have DM'd him or you could have contacted his coach and you know, coach there's some confusion. But at the end of the day, what did it hurt for that kid to say, hey, this school just offered me? And we've seen in the past, too, that's the problem we got with all these internet experts and these walk-on accounts and things like that. A lot of people out there that have kind of pretended to be people. And I know people in the, quote, media that have essentially told players they have offers. You know, and they don't. It's just interesting how that all works. But, you know, again, that's the new commitments. And, of course, you picked up Adam Land last week. So five new commitments here in the last week. And, of course, we expect that you know, to move up here in the days ahead. But your Bulldogs right now are being really ranked on quantity more so than quality right now. Some good players. But, man, there's a lot of mid-level three-stars in this group. And to me, that's all really about going 2-10. That's not necessarily an indictment on this staff or the effort they're putting in at their evaluations. It's just we don't have as much to sell right now other than opportunity. You know, you can come in here and turn this thing around and be a legend. We got to go win some ball games. And, again, I think this commitment list is going to look dramatically different come December than it looks today. Not just because you're going to have more guys, but I think there are some players that are maybe on the fence that are like, you know, I need to see a little more from Mississippi State before – I decide to commit there. I think that's something to consider. We got to go win some ball games. We got to go show some signs of life and signs of a turnaround, or we're going to be recruiting mid-level three stars for the next couple of years. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, it's time for our close with Blair. Player of the day. I think we got to go with Charles Humphrey. I really do. I think we have to go with Charles Humphrey. And again, I know we hadn't played. You know, for that matter, too. Maybe Jaden Ross, too. Let's go with a twosome today. We'll go with Jaden Ross and Charles Humphrey because of the fact that these guys were very excited about Mississippi State as a program and as a university. And even a change, and their position coach did not deter them from considering and ultimately choosing Mississippi State. We need more young people like that, right? And it's not like these guys had to make a decision today. It's not like State's getting them by default. As mentioned, they had other official visits set up. They had other opportunities with other Power Four programs. But they chose Mississippi State. And I think that is worthy of acknowledgement. I think that is an important thing. You know, we talk about that all the time. You should choose a program, not a coach. That's kind of a truism. It's not necessarily true. You got to make sure that the coach is running a scheme that kind of lends itself to your skill set. But, I wanted to – let's go ahead and honor Charles Humphrey and Jaden Ross both for sticking with us throughout this process. And, again, tip of the cap to Phil Loadholt too. Yeah, that's a guy that came in and said, you know what, these guys are good enough. They're home state guys. And then he goes and gets three verbal commitments over the weekend, and we feel like he's really close to another one. So there we go. Of course, the Close of Blair player of the day brought to you by Blair Chandler, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. The reason you need to know Blair is because Blair is the only name to know in mortgage loan origination. A lot of people out there vying for your business. But let's stick with a winner like Blair Chandler. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. You can call or text him directly. You don't have to go through a call center or a receptionist. That phone number goes directly to Blair Chandler. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair. And you could be the next. Let the dream of home ownership become a reality for you. Blair Chandler. At closeatblair.com. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. I love Kalido Guitars. I love my guitar stand from them. I love the fact that I can look over there. I don't have to worry about it leaning up against a wall. I don't like to keep mine in a case because sometimes I'll just think I want to go play something. I go grab it, plug it in, drive the dogs crazy. You know, I don't have a lot of neighbors, so I can jam out as loud as I want to. You need to jam out yourself. And maybe you've always thought about picking up the guitar. You know, summertime's a good time to work on that. You know, for me, it's like you would think with all the dexterity that I have from all the typing, it'd be very easy for me. It's really not. It's not. I'm not a great player, but I enjoy playing. There are a lot of people out there a lot more talented than me. I can assure you of that. I love the fact that we have a Mississippi State-owned and operated guitar shop. That is super cool to me. Let's keep business in the family whenever we can. Again, visit KalidoGuitars.com, or you can go by and see the showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. I mean, you got name brand instruments, everything you need, cases, gig bags, accessories, cables, whatever you need. And many of you have had other providers, but you know what? If we can get the same product from a Mississippi State company, I think we should. They're going to give you some incentive to do that. Promo code BSR. You can use it in person. You can use it online. You can use it over the phone. Right? Gets you 10% off your purchase, gets you free shipping, and then gives you no sales tax if you live anywhere other than the state of Texas. In addition to that, a 5% donation will be made to the Bulldog Excellence Fund on behalf of Kalita Guitars. So not only are you getting a high-quality instrument at a discounted price, you're helping Mississippi State Athletics. I wish more businesses offered that opportunity. There we go. Kalido Guitars, the name to know for Mississippi State guitar players. Okay, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a listener online here recently about the top 10 list. They're a big fan of the top 10 list. And said, you know, Steve, I like the obscure things you come up with. I learn things about music, and I appreciate that. I enjoy music. I enjoy interacting with all of you. I enjoy doing this show. But he said, hey, maybe throw us a curveball on the next one. And we've got some things kind of backed up. But I thought about, you know, every time that we go play somewhere, and I covered Mississippi State baseball in several states this year, covered Mississippi State football several states this past year. And so we always do like the rock of those states. And so we're talking back and forth about, you know, what are some states ever played in. I don't know that we'll ever play in Alaska. So I don't know when we would ever have the opportunity to do the music of Alaska. So we're going to do it today, the music of Alaska. Now, there's not a lot of Americana in my wheelhouse. And that's kind of what they do. They got a lot of folk music up there, which is interesting to me, considering how cold it is. You'd think they'd be a little more active, you know. But that's just me. You know, maybe it's, with the 6 months of darkness that influences some of that. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Music of Alaska. Now, our first one, and I've got a reason for all of these, like where I ranked them, you know. And so you guys may not be familiar with Nathan West. Maybe you are. Very handsome devil, right? From Anchorage, Alaska, 46 years of age. He has been on Septuplets and Saving Graces. I think he's done some Seventh Heaven stuff. He's been in some movies. He's done a lot of different stuff. But he also has a band called East of Eli. Don't know the significance of the name, but they're actually kind of cool. They're kind of pop slash alternative. What I mean by that is it's kind of catchy and up-tempo more times than not. But some of the tuning is a little more drop D. I think you'll appreciate that. We're going to go with a track, ironically, that kind of fits Alaska. It's Nowhere from East of Eli. And again, I think that's a band you could have a little fun with. All right, number 9. You know my feelings about this band. But Nirvana makes our list today. Because Jason Everman was one of the original guitar players, or maybe the original guitar player, with Nirvana. And there's precious few songs that he actually played on, but he was with Nirvana and initially with Soundgarden in the early days. He was with Mind Funk and eventually gave up music, joined the United States Army, became a sergeant first class, was involved in some special force stuff. He fought in Afghanistan and in Iraq. We're very grateful for his service. But there's a song called Dive on the expanded edition of With the Lights Out, which has a lot of demos. And so Everman actually recorded a cover with Soundgarden and covered a couple, recorded a couple songs with Nirvana. He toured on Bleach, and it's so ironic. They fired him because of his moodiness. Kurt Cobain fired somebody for being moody, right? Weird stuff, man. But anyway, I thought we'd pay homage to Everman. A lot of people think he's one of the greatest musicians to come from Alaska. Changing gears a little bit. A band called LaBouche. Remember them? A top 40 dance. Yeah, you know them. You do. And so Lane McRae is the lead rapper with LaBouche. And they had a few hits, you know, the kind of the club MTV days. Remember Downtown Julie Brown? Wubba, wubba, wubba. Good night and God bless. But LaBouche, Be My Lover was probably the track that you know well. But we're going to go with Sweet Dreams. Yeah. And they had some hits, big hits over in Europe, as you guys may be aware. The club scene in Europe at times dwarfs what we have here in the United States, at least musically. All right, number 7. There's going to be a track here. You probably have never known the name of this band or this artist. And this song is kind of different than the rest of the catalog. But it's probably the most recognizable song from a group called Kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo, maybe. It's Way Down We Go. And as soon as you hear the opening bars, you're like, I knew this. I know this. It's been on all the reels. It's been on some TV commercials. It's been a very successful song commercially, but I thought we'd show that band a little love. I think you'll enjoy that. And again, the rest of their stuff is a little more rocking. This is a little different, but I think you'll enjoy it and have some fun with it. Number 6, I couldn't do Alaska without working in one of these Americana folk music type acts, and so we're going to work in who is reported to be the best of the bunch. It's a band called Barefoot. And this is going to be a song, too, that I think you've heard before. It's Before I Go. And the young lady that does the bulk of the singing has a very haunting voice. I really like it. It's not my cup of tea, that brand of music, but I think she is a very talented singer. So I think you can enjoy that. Now, the best rock band ever from Alaska, probably a band you don't know, but they have had some commercial success. They've played a lot of different festivals and things like that. It's a band called 36 Crazy Fist Fights. What a wild name for a band. And we're going to go with a wild name for a song, too. It's Slit Wrist Theory. Now, if you know, like, new metal of the early 2000s, you know Taproot, it's a little bit like that, with maybe a little more of a vocal edge. And I like Taproot better. But it's interesting. This band from Alaska has had a success. They're very much a scene band. So if you like that early 2000s alternative hard rock sound, I think you're going to dig them. Number four. I used to have a huge crush on this young lady. She's no longer a young lady, but she's still incredibly beautiful. And she was probably, I had crushes on, I can't think of the girl's name. It was the guitar player. But the rock band Vixen. Janet Gardner is from Alaska, the lead singer with that incredibly platinum blonde hair. It was her. And so we're going to go with Edge of a Broken Heart. And they had a couple big albums. You know, when they hit the scene, people were like, well, this is a publicity stunt. It absolutely was not a publicity stunt. And they could actually, Roxy Petrucci, the drummer, is still playing for everybody. I mean, she's very well respected in the industry. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She's great. But Janet is from Alaska, and I'm sitting here looking at the information now. But Cher Ross, that was her name. Cher Ross, the guitar player. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, she's a bass player. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? Maybe Jan. All good looking, and also very, very talented. And but again, Edge of a Broken Heart, actually written by Richard Marx. Big hit for them. But, you know, Crying was a big hit for them. You know, Rev It Up was pretty good, too, the second album. But the third album, things didn't go quite as well. Fourth album, you know, things kind of begin to fall apart, obviously. But the reality of it is this band's been around for a long time, and it's kind of cool. It really is. But the classic lineup, yeah, Jan was a lead guitar player. Yeah, Jan. And died of cancer a few years ago. But Janet Gardner, incredibly talented young lady. And I say young lady. She's not young anymore, but still beautiful, still performing. She's 63, from Juneau, Alaska. But, yeah, still out there running around and still performing, and you got to love that aspect of it. But, again, the Edge of a Broken Heart. All right, number three, we mentioned Soundgarden earlier, and, yeah, there is a connection to Alaska as well. The lead single off the Super Unknown album was a weird track that everybody loved because of the novelty of the whole thing, and it was Spoon Man. Artist, the Spoon Man, is from Alaska. And, of course, he performs, and it's ridiculous to hear all that stuff. You're thinking, this guy's playing with spoons. He was, and it was a crazy thing. Chris Cornell, like, encountered him on a trip and was absolutely inspired and couldn't believe his talent, so he crafted a song around Spoon Man. So there you go. Artist the Spoon Man, a native of Alaska. Number two, another song that I think you're going to know, and it's interesting that one of the lead vocalists of this band is female, when the name of the band is Portugal the Man. There's a great song called Feel It Still, and it is so haunting. Like, her vocal delivery is incredible. But again, Portugal the Man, one of the most successful acts to ever come from Alaska. And again, very different, very different. But number one, kind of sticking with the folksy Americana thing, it's got to be Jewel, right? It is. It's got to be Jewel. And when she hit the scene and she was yodeling and she was so incredibly beautiful and she could carry a tune in a much different way. Like, the vocal quality that she has and the variance that she has and how she delivers stuff is was very different. And she wrote from her heart. And we get that leads us to our number one track. I mean, you know, it's Who Will Save Your Soul? For Those Lies That You Told, right? There's so many great songs that Jewel was a part of. And she came along at a time in music when we needed somebody a little more wholesome, to be honest with you. But Jill, an incredible performer, and again, from Alaska. You know, she didn't spend her whole life there, but all of our artists are either from there or were raised there. And so there you go, music from Alaska, a list that I never thought we'd do, but here we are. you never know what I'm going to do, right? I'm just a riddle wrapped inside of an enigma. You just never know what we're going to spit out. So thanks, as always, for your support of the Top 10 List. If you have ideas, hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. And you can find our great list on Spotify under Roy's handle of Dogmatic67. Just push the follow button. This list will auto-populate. We'll turn you on to some new tunes weekly. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We love them because they have what we want, right? It's more Mississippi State merch. Nobody has a better selection of Mississippi State merchandise than Campus Bookmart. You can check me on that. Miss Kathy Brown does a great job outfitting that operation with the latest Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, or everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. I'm always glad when I go. I get a complimentary hug. Maybe that's just me. Maybe. I don't know. You have to see how things go when you go. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them online, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, I was going to save this segment for last, but I don't want to end on a somber note, and I want to be respectful. But there's some things we need to talk about. We talk about some real-life stuff on this show in addition to Mississippi State and music and everything else, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but there was a tragedy yesterday in Mississippi. And I'm not going to mention names. You can do your own research there because I don't know these people, okay? So in no way am I sitting in judgment of them. But essentially, there was a man that reportedly murdered his wife and then shot himself. And I want to share a few things about that. Not about the particular incident because I don't know the details. I just know the tragedy that is being experienced by a community. And I want to ensure you of this. No matter what you're going through, you can make it through. It may not feel that way, but you can. We all have bad days. We all have trauma in life. We all sometimes experience things we never thought we would. There are some pains that are just simply unspeakable. And one of the things that kind of makes me sad, but also honored at the same time. I had somebody message me on Father's Day that was experiencing some difficult times. And I get those messages a lot. And a lot of it's because of the show. And a lot of it is because of my transparency about recovery and my own struggles and things of that nature. And I think it's so important that we do that. And I'm not going to mention, I've got a friend that has some notoriety that you guys know well. And you know, we talked about transparency and recovery. Now, long after I got to Starkville, I made a comment, you know, about the quality of recovery in our community. And I was convicted when he said, well, what are you going to do to change it? And I became a lot more transparent. I've got, trust me, there are some people that love me that wish I was a little more opaque about all that. But I am paying back a debt that I will never fully repay. And through the program of recovery, and if I make it to December 10th, it'll be 34 years, clean and sober. And that's not partially sober. That is complete abstinence. I don't believe in this whole California sober thing. I think that's just trading one drug for another. That's my opinion. You're welcome to feel how you feel. But I work a program of recovery that includes complete abstinence. I don't drink. I don't do narcotics. I don't try to alter my consciousness through chemicals. I don't do that. And there have been some people around me that have said, you know, hey, you should probably go get a marijuana card because you probably qualify. And I'm sure that I would, but I know where that would take me. Wouldn't be long. You know, we get high, next thing you know, we're heading to New Orleans looking for cocaine and strippers. I know this about myself. I know my limitations. I know how the story ends if I turn the responsibility of writing it over to that demon side of me. I know this. But no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how bad you're hurting, my hope for you is that you have someone you can tell everything to. And I understand that is very difficult to find at times. And especially for men. Not in any way to suggest that the trauma experienced by men is greater than women. I'm in no way advocating for that. What I am saying is that sometimes society and our upbringing basically tells us men that it's weak to have a weak moment. It is not weak to have a weak moment. It is to be human to have a weak moment. I can tell you when Dana was travel nursing, I had a lot of weak moments. I had a lot of days I had to consider the quality of my own life and how I wanted to live this life. I did. And I got a pretty good idea of what it would be like to be divorced. And not really anything I want to entertain. But all of that understood, I think it's important that we have an open dialogue about real issues. And a lot of times, men especially, and it's been my experience in 33 years of recovery, men have a lot of times being hard times being honest about what's eating their lunch. You know, I hear from people from all walks of life, all genders, all socioeconomic backgrounds, and that is in no way to praise me, but it is to basically illustrate a need that we all need someone to talk to. And as men, we're always ranking the pack like a bunch of wolves, right? And so if you admit to a friend, maybe, that you're struggling, you may feel like you would lose, you know, stature within the group. And I'm here to tell you that's not true. There are some people out there, of course, that not all your friends want to see you winning, right? I mean, there's some friends out there that would love to know something. They love to see you hurting, you know. I got people that would love to see me fall too, you know. That's life, right? That's how it works. Nobody talks trash about Vanderbilt football, right? They talk trash. Nobody attacks them. People attack Alabama and LSU. And why? Because they're successful, right? And there are a lot of people out there, and we talked about this with the Michael Tate thing. There are a lot of people out there that simply cannot wait. They cannot wait to pounce when they see a little bit of weakness. Because it makes them feel better about their own mundane lives. That's true. That's the reality. I'm not going to sit here and be any respecter of persons in that respect. There are a lot of weak people out there, a lot of insecure people. They want to tear other people down to make them feel better about the things they have not accomplished. That's true. And you may not like it, but it's true. There are a lot of things in life I don't like either. I'm just kind of forced to deal with them. But I don't know what possessed this man to do what he did. I don't. I have no clue. But I can tell you, if you are a person that is considering harming yourself or others, I'm going to give you a number. And it's important for you to have this number. The suicide hotline. Very easy. It's a free call now. You can dial 988 on your phone. And it's not just a suicide line. It's suicide and crisis. It's available 24 hours a day. You can text if calling is not an option. And there is help available. Available in English and Spanish. I understand there's also some other languages they can speak, but it's a little more complicated. But no matter what you're dealing with, because I can tell you, I have had some very dark days in life. I've had some very dark days in recovery. I'm not going to sit here and paint it like it's all been rainbows and unicorn farts. It hadn't been. It hadn't been. Matter of fact, the most difficult things that ever happened to me in my life happened to me after I got clean and sober. I just didn't go get loaded over it. And there are some days, too, that I get angry. I don't always act on it, but I still get angry. I'm human. But the last thing that you should do is to engage in self-destructive behavior or in the harm of another person. You don't have to live that way. And that's important to understand. You don't have to live that way. We get so caught up sometimes and we think we can't change things. Hey, this is what I'm having to deal with, and it is just simply too difficult for me to stomach. And so the only way out of it, we think sometimes, would be violence or to act out negatively. And I can tell you that's not the case. I can assure you that everybody that loved that couple would rather have seen them get divorced and live separate lives than to deal with what they're dealing with today. And again, I'm not sitting in judgment. I don't know all the details or really any of the details about it except what's been reported. But I know that many of you may be dealing with similar circumstances. And I hope that you have somebody to talk to. Whether it be a pastor, a counselor, a therapist, there is help available. And again, if you don't have access to those people, I want you to call or text 988. Again, it's a free call, free text. There are a lot of people out there that are hurting. And it's so interesting, and maybe it's a macabre pursuit of mine, and maybe it's a character defect of mine, but one of the things, when these things happen, I go scroll through people's social media. I'm like, where were the signs? And what happens more times than not, pardon me, is that I see a very rosy, glowing social media profile. Because we only want to put our best foot forward. We want to be judged at our best, even though it's not truly our best. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody gets all dolled up and dressed up and go stands on the beach and they get these pictures made and everybody's like, oh, these are great. And they are. But it's not really an indicative nature of who we truly are. We'd love for it to be that way. You know, and you see there's a billion-dollar industry these days of being people using filters and posting pictures and videos of themselves and then, you know, selling themselves online. That's not empowerment, I don't think. Some people would argue against it. If one thing, if you're doing it yourself, pretending to be another person and doing it, I think is a little bit sad. But to each their own. But at the core of this, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. You begin to compare, look what everybody else is doing. Hey, they took a trip here and they're doing that. Why don't I get to do that? Well, some of it, you just may not have the resources to do it. It doesn't mean you can't get out and go have some fun. But maybe you don't get to go to Paris. Maybe you don't get to go see Christmas in New York. Maybe you don't get to go to Hawaii. I just think it's a sad way to live your life thinking, I want those things I do not have. And that's one of the things that I have learned in recovery. Wherefore I am, I shall be content. And I do not want what I do not have. But I do want who and what I have. And I think that's an important lesson when it comes to maturing. There are things that drive me. Oh, absolutely. There are things that I'm very passionate about. And there are some goals that I'll never reach. And I think that's life in a nutshell. But it helps to have them. You know, I don't think we should live a reactive life. I shared with you guys before, and if you've read When the Bottom Falls, you know a lot about this. But I had a life coach, a guy by the name of Brad Wordley. And had a chance to reconnect with Brad after I wrote that book because I began to realize that everything that we had talked about had kind of become manifest. And I wanted him to share in that celebration. But Brad Wordley told me something that I found very offensive. And it was probably the most honest anyone had ever been with me. And I didn't like it. And he told me I was leading an accidental life. He said, you just kind of get up and react to everything else. You're just the guy that pays for everything. You don't have any goals of your own. He said, Steve, you stop dreaming. And I didn't like it because he was 100% correct. You need to have some dreams of your own. That's not to say that I don't foster a lot of my own children's dreams and not my own grandchildren's dreams. But I have dreams of my own. I have goals of my own. I'm not just living life to pay the mortgage. And man, I'll be honest with you. If that's all that I thought it held for me, didn't let me off the train, baby. I know there is more to life. And I know that some things happen. They've happened to me. They've happened to others. That it happens and we kind of get it caught up in our gears. And we can't get free of it. Or so we think. And we begin to believe that this is how it's always going to be. It's not true. But it ends when you're ready. It may take some time. It may take some therapy. It may take some prayer. It's going to take some healing. But a bad wound doesn't heal on its own. Sometimes it requires stitches. Sometimes it requires surgery. It requires antiseptic. It requires bandages. And if we're going to take those steps for a physical wound, why would we not take even greater steps for an emotional, mental, or spiritual wound? You know, people say all the time, and I'm going to Dr. Phil you here, people say, you know, time heals all wounds. Time heals nothing. Nothing. It's not time. It's the steps we take to distance ourselves from the negative stimuli in our life that heals. It just takes some time to get away. That's what heals us, not time. Because if all you ever do is sit around and ruminate on your problems, they never go away. And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the reasons that I don't go to a lot more meetings for recovery. I try to be transparent. I do go somewhat regularly, but I don't go all the time. Because I reached a point in my life in my recovery, I said, you know, I think I want a little more than this, to constantly sit around and talk about things that I did 30 years ago. Now, of course, there are things and character defects that I still possess that I'm still working towards. You know, and I'm a person too that I'll be honest with you. It's like when I want to feel sorry for myself, I can. I can roll through that index and I can find something very quickly. If I really want to get down in the dumps, and that's a choice sometimes, it is. You know, my whole situation here is I believe that we can choose to be better. And I think that's probably something that sounds very simplistic in nature. But I believe that's true. I believe it is a choice. And again, there are some things that maybe you need professional help to overcome. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm hurt. And I don't want to live this way anymore. And it hurts me to think that there's so many people out there that don't feel they have anywhere to turn. We are a broken people. And there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot out there to really get us, you know, beside ourselves and to think about, oh, woe is us. What's going to happen next in our community and in our world and our country? There's a lot of that that happens. But the reality of that is, and I know they had this no kings thing. Let me tell you this. I live under the reign of one king. One king. And it's not a guy that's in the White House or in the governor's mansion, the mayor's house. Those people come and go. Policies come and go. I'm not going to get caught up in the tribalistic nature of political commentary. You may choose to. I just choose to spend my life on more worthwhile pursuits. You know, that's my feeling. If you're rewarded and esteemed by that, then God bless you. It's not anything that I want to be a part of. But so much of that is a distraction to what's really going on in the world. And what's going on in our own homes. And one of the things that I have learned in all these years of message boarding and recovery and everything else, that a lot of people that argue the loudest are people that are hurting the most. It's like they've got to find a way to get a win somewhere. And I think with the proper counseling, I think with the proper work, that we can win at home and we can win at work. And you know what? Maybe you can win online too. But focusing on what matters most is what matters most. It's the people around us. It's the people that depend on us, not nameless, faceless strangers on Facebook. You know, it's like every time that I see like WLBT or somewhere like that, I mean, it's like every single time. And it bothers me, and sometimes I have to comment. And, you know, maybe I should use a little more restraint at times. But I see a situation where there is tragedy, where someone has lost their life. And someone has reached a point where they felt they can't continue with this scenario, so they take somebody's life. And it doesn't take long to scroll down and find political comments. It's just like we had the situation over the weekend when those two Minnesota lawmakers and their spouses were both shot. It was a race to see who could find out who the killer voted for. What does that change? You talk about losing the plot. What does that matter? Oh, it just provides a little fodder so we can go back to our regular, you know, non-civil discourse about political theater that really doesn't change much in our lives? Is that what we are as a society? That's what happens. And one of the things that I go, when I do comment, I say, this is not an issue about Democratic or Republican or black or white. This is about good and evil. I'm going to choose the side of good before I have seen enough evil in my life to last me a lifetime. And maybe you have too. And so my hope is that maybe we, quote, good people, in Dr. Evil quotes, we good people can bind together and maybe not be a part of that, because there are a lot of people out there that are not bad people, but they're broken, and they will rest evil upon others. It's not to say that they're evil people. It's just they have reached a point that the seeds of sin have become so manifest in their lives that they feel nowhere else to turn. And so my hope is that you will be a willing listener to people in pain, and you will be open about your willingness to share with them. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without question. When you're bringing a large group to town, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We stayed there for New Year's. We had a blast. You got the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area. It's great. The fire pit area. Six bedrooms, two soon-to-be three baths, the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Whether you're, I don't know, maybe you're going to have like a girls' weekend, a guys' weekend, a family weekend, ball game weekend, whatever, wouldn't it be great to have everybody under one roof? More convenient, but also, too, more meaningful. Having a chance to kind of sit around and get caught up about all the minutiae in your life and things that maybe you don't see on social media, just to kind of talk and see how people are doing. It's an important thing, and I can tell you, Mom would love to be able to have all the kids and grandkids together. I can smell those cinnamon rolls right now for breakfast. Give that gift to your parents. Be wonderful. It would be. Just rent the place out. Everybody show up. Plenty of parking out there. Not a lot of neighbors, so it's real peaceful. It's real quiet. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can look through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests, but also some booking options pop up, too. You can go through Airbnb and VRBO. That's completely up to you, right? You may have a credit. I don't know. But if you want to save some money and you don't have a credit with those companies, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 1010, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're getting a discount to the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, we're going to jump around a little bit here in our final segment. As you guys know, there was some portal activity yesterday. As Jackson Owen, Mississippi State catcher, has withdrawn from the portal, he will remain with the Diamond Dogs. That's a good thing. And people, the first question everybody says, well, what does this mean for our pursuit of a portal catcher? Well, basically, it allows us to target one guy rather than two. The thinking was that we would go get a true bona fide starter and then have to go get a backup. It's tough to get backups out of the portal, because guys go into the portal looking for starting opportunities. And even if you're a Power 5 backup or a Power 4 backup, whatever we're calling it today, you'll drop down a level to be able to play every day. And so the Johnny Longs of the world don't come along very often. It worked out where Johnny ended up being our primary catcher. And, of course, he and Joe kind of split time down the stretch. But, you know, we had the injury to Ross Highfill. And so you never know. But you can't bank on that. But with Jackson Owen coming back, I think it eliminates the need to go get a second catcher in the portal. I think you got to go get a bona fide starter. And I do think Jackson Owen could be the secondary catcher. Now, well, you know his offensive prowess, mainly in fall ball. Unfortunately, this year, he got injured very early in the year, had to have season-ending surgery, and that's something that just kind of sat on a back burner for a while. It's not anything that was really advertised out there. But the first thing people say is, well, he didn't play much this year. Well, he was hurt. And Jackson Owen is a guy that's a Starkville high school product. He dreamed of playing at Mississippi State. This is a guy that's always wanted to wear the uniform, and that's not always enough. But he has proven to be a very talented player, and I think certainly could fill that need as your number two catcher. That's how I feel. And certainly from an offensive standpoint, we know what he can do. I think the last two falls, he's led us in home runs. Maybe Spallitta had him by 1 2 years ago. But Jackson Owen, there was a stretch there where you simply couldn't even pitch to him. It seemed like every game, he's sending one over the fence. So that's a need that has now been met with a player that we already know that knows us, who's been here for 2 years, knows our culture, knows the expectations, knows what it's like to play at Duty Noble Field. I think those things are important. But again, we're still going to go take a portal catcher. We got to get a starter out of the catcher. Out of the portal, we do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Now, Cade O'Leary also went into portal, and I hate to see that, but some people are characterizing this was a huge loss. I think he had the potential to be a really productive player at Mississippi State, but it's not like he had a ton of production last year. Guy did have some talent. Would I have preferred to keep him? Yeah, you better believe it. But it's interesting. You know, we go out and get three guys from Farragut High School off what was considered – one of the best, if not the best, high school teams in the history of the State of Tennessee High School Association. And now all three of those guys are in the portal. Now, Cade O'Leary moved to Knoxville. He didn't grow up there. But, you know, O'Leary's a guy, too, that went to the MLB Combine last year. Now, he wasn't a serious draft risk, but he was a guy, obviously, that was on their radar. But he had two appearances this year. He threw against Queens and allowed a couple of hits and a couple of runs in a 9-3 ball game, and then pitched an inning of hitless relief against Southern. Those were his only two appearances. So he has 3 years of eligibility left. I don't know where he's going to go. We wish him the best and appreciate his contributions to Mississippi State. But, yeah, I think his best baseball is ahead of him. So in that respect, yeah, you hate to lose that. But I believe that Brian O'Connor and Justin Parker can bring in somebody that is of comparable or better ability. I think that's a fair thing. And so, again, portal giveth, portal taketh, part of the deal. Portal will remain open for about 2 more weeks, and then that'll be all for the outgoing players. And I don't know if we have any more. You know, we'll see. They got time to figure this thing out. Everybody's got agents and reps these days. So they're fielding calls, and it's like, hey, if he goes in the portal, we'd love to have him. And sometimes there's an NIL component to that, and guys think, okay, well, I'll move along. And it happens. It's the nature of sports these days. But once we know that aspect of it, once we know who's in and who's out, of course, there'll be some players that are playing in Omaha that are on those teams will like to go get into Portal 2 and kind of do some things that they think is best for them. And so reality of it is Brian O'Connor and his staff have a responsibility to put the best team together they possibly can, and we're confident that he's going to do that. You know, I've got a conversation coming up with him soon, and also conversation with Zach Selman tonight. We'll run that story over at jeanspage.com tomorrow, and that'll be a VIP story, so you'll need to be a member, and again, you can be for 50% off the annual subscription price. But I have watched the College World Series. And yes, it makes me a little bit sad, right, that we're not there. I didn't expect us to get to Omaha this year. I didn't expect us to host, and then I was hoping we'd at least get to a Super Regional. I think that's probably the ceiling for this team, considering the amount of starting pitching that we had, and more to the point, maybe didn't have. But it's interesting now. We're down to 4 teams playing college baseball. 2 of them are from the SEC. Now, they're playing head-to-head, so can only have 1 team in there. But I would venture to say probably the 3 of the 4 best teams remaining are Coastal Carolina, Arkansas, and LSU. And again, LSU and Coastal are 2-0, so they don't have any losses, so they'll have to lose twice. Louisville, wild game yesterday. I don't know if you kept up with that. It felt like Louisville was in total control. And the next thing you know, Oregon State gets a solo home run. They load the bases. There is kind of a wild play at short where the shortstop kind of whiffs. It's a runner kind of crossing his field of vision there. And it's not necessarily a routine play, but a play that a Division I shortstop should make. He completely whiffs. Two-run score, Oregon State ties it, and then Louisville walks it off. So Louisville is alive. Oregon State, UCLA both eliminated yesterday. Arkansas, of course, had the no-hit performance from Gage Wood, had another nice showing last night, and UCLA is eliminated. And again, we talk about the grow the game stuff, and I think that's important to consider now, right? So you had three teams from the West, the true West. I mean, Arkansas is an SEC team. Them and LSU are both west of the Mississippi, but they're SEC teams. But three of the four teams eliminated so far are all Western teams: Oregon State, Arizona, UCLA. And UCLA nor Arizona won a game. So that's something that's interesting to kind of break down too. And so you're going to have four Southeastern teams vying for NAFL championships. And so, again, hey, great year for Oregon State. A lot of respect for them. You know, the fact they don't even have a conference, they had to go out there and build a schedule on their own. We talked about that before. And they reach Omaha. Great. Arizona, a team that we played in Houston, and some people thought, well, they're going to be down a little bit this year. They got off to a slow start, but then they came back strong, and they were playing their best baseball at the end of the year. But they're done. UCLA, a team that we felt was in the hosting discussion when many other people didn't. They played their way in and ultimately made it to Omaha. And then America's team, Murray State. And, as my friend Brian CTP so accurately put out there, once they played an SEC team of value, they had some real trouble. And, of course, that's a shot at Ole Miss. But, Murray State was a lot of fun. But you and I both know they weren't going to win in Omaha. They may have won a game. They were very competitive. They represented themselves well. But the road ends. But what a great year for the Racers. And a lot of people around the country, of course, were pulling for Murray State because we love the underdog story. And I think when you look at this thing, too, I think a lot of people are going to be pulling against LSU. Even though I think they may be the best team, I think LSU probably needs to take care of Arkansas in this next game. I don't think you really want to get into a winner-take-all type situation with Arkansas. Of course, Coastal's already won one. LSU's won several. So you may have a chance to see Arkansas or Louisville win the NAFL championship this year. I don't know your feelings about that, but I'm kind of pulling for Arkansas. Kind of. And the reason I say that is they have committed so much to baseball. You'd like to see them get rewarded for that. Louisville's never won it. So that would be interesting. Their sixth College World Series appearance. And Louisville's a team, too, for a while there that just, they went from being a team that was kind of an Omaha mainstay to being a team that's just like, oh, okay, They were there in, 17 and in 19 and haven't been back to Omaha since this year. And it wasn't a great year. They finished 500 in their league. 15-15 in the ACC, the second-best conference. But they're in Omaha now. And so, again, you got to ask yourself what's best for the game. And that's what I want. If we can't win, I want what's best for the game. But there's a part of me that I'm kind of pulling for Arkansas. I'm not really pulling for LSU, but I do respect the fact they're a great team. But I go back to that series that we played against them, and that's the thing that's so frustrating, right? You and I both felt we should have taken 2 out of 3 down there. We lose one game 2-1. Pico goes out there and just pitches it like crazy, and we get beat by 2 solo home runs. And, of course, we blew the big lead in game 1 out there. And that's a team right now that a lot of people think is going to be your national champion. And that's how close we were, in many respects, to doing something of significance this year. You know, how many times this year do we have to look back and, you know, you want to try to explain it away, but you just tell yourself, yeah, we should have won some games here. You know, we dropped some games we shouldn't. And that's why we're in a situation we're in. Now, I think it kind of goes back to the whole Joe Moorhead thing in some respects. You know, Joe won two Egg Bowls and took us to two bowl games and still got fired. We brought in Mike Leach. Felt a whole lot better. Some people didn't. But when we first hired Mike Leach, people were like, this is crazy. It's like the non-Mississippi State thing to do, to go hire a sitting Power 5 head coach for football. And you look at what's happened in baseball. Listen, I got a great relationship with Lemonis, but I think in hindsight, you look at this thing and say, hey, you know, Brian O'Connor's a guy that's been to Omaha seven times and won an AFL championship too. And so while it may have been a very difficult undertaking in some respects, I think Mississippi State is probably better for it now. I appreciate all the contributions from Lemonis and Goat and Cheese and everybody else involved in all that thing. But we move forward. And again, give Zach Selman a lot of credit. Zach went out there and moved the oak tree, uprooted the oak tree, and moved him to Mississippi. And that's the thing you begin to kind of think about. We talk about having like the perfect combination. In some respects, Zach Selman did what John Cohen set out to do after the firing of Andy Cannizzaro, or resignation, I should say. It's officially what it was a resignation. But I go back to all of this and I think about with our resources and our fan support and our tradition, our expectations. And now you've gone out and you've hired one of the best coaches in college baseball. And I had people tell me in the beginning, he is one of the top five baseball coaches in America. And he is a guy that typically gets his guys to come to school. Not always, but there are some very highly regarded prospects that he has been able to get to go to college. And I love his whole pitch about that. You get to decide how you want to spend those 3 years, 18 to 21. You can do it in college and possibly improve your draft stock, or you can go into minors and, you know, ride around on buses and stay in hotel rooms and doom scroll on your phone every day. You know, there's a lot to that. And so, again, I don't know right now if anybody could say there has ever been more excitement about the program. Of course, after we won the NFL championship, we were awfully excited to get that 2022 season underway. It didn't work out the way we wanted, though. But I think there are some people around the National College Baseball media that are eager to see kind of what this roster is going to look like. I don't think there's any question we'll be a preseason top 25 team. And there's no question about it. When you begin to think about the pieces we're adding, the pieces we're returning, and you probably got the preseason SEC Player of the Year, Ace Reese, coming back. You know, so you begin to work through all of these dynamics and you begin to think about what's next for Mississippi State. And as I told Bo Bounds off air, I said, I believe we're about to enter a decade of baseball that we probably have only dreamed of at Mississippi State. And it's so crazy to think, you know, well, Mississippi State is getting serious. We've always been serious about baseball. I don't know that we've ever been more serious about baseball. And I think that is an important aspect of this, that, you know, we went out and built this great cathedral of a stadium, and now all of a sudden we have one of the best coaches in college baseball history, a Hall of Fame coach that is enamored with our stadium, enamored with our fan support, and already has had a great deal of success. And so hopefully this will be a perfect marriage for us and we'll kind of move forward. And so I'm excited. I know you guys are excited. Of course, we've had some official visitors. And again, I'm still just trying to figure out how to navigate all this, right? It's a little different. You know, you guys go dig something up. There's no accountability. You're not credentialed, right? What I mean, and that's not me being haughty. You don't ever have to deal with the coach. I do. And so we're kind of tiptoeing around a few things. We'll get our feet under us, and we'll be in good shape. And I think that's an important thing to understand. We're going to cover Mississippi State like nobody else. And again, a camp on Thursday for football, and then, of course, official visits this weekend. Friday, we will finalize our visit list. We're doing our best to kind of go through and confirm everything, and we will we'll preview the weekend on Friday and kind of give you an idea of who we think possibly could commit to Mississippi State. Again, 14 commitments right now. I suspect it's probably 18 to 20 before we wrap up the summer. you know, probably pick up a handful this weekend. Maybe we'll do something before the season, you know. And again, Jax Pope's announcing on Saturday, too. He visited last weekend. Feel really good about that. And so I think we'll take somewhere around 20 commitments into the season, and then we'll see how things go. But it's so interesting, you know. Again, high school recruiting just doesn't move the needle like it used to, because I think so many of you, you don't have time to get to know the players, but also, too, you know, you're not going to see them on the field in a long time. And so it's just a different dynamic these days. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You can get copies, signed copies of all of my sports titles, in addition to my memoir about recovery, When the Bottom Falls. If you're a person in recovery, you know somebody in recovery, I recommend you get that book. I get messages from people all over the country about that every single week, and I appreciate that more than I could possibly say. Come float with us over at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. I'm going to have to go run a spa for a couple days so the wife can go see the baby. You know, and eager to do that, right? Eager to go do that. That's part of being married and part of being small business owners. You know, there are sacrifices we have to make. And so make that sacrifice worthwhile by calling 662-268-7601. And you can schedule online or you can call her directly. If you'd like, you can download the True Rest app and visit truerest.com for more information. But any question you have, I'm confident Dana can handle it. And then, of course, come over to jeanspage.com, 50% off the annual subscription price. That promotion going on right now. Run for a little bit longer, and we're excited to have you come join our merry band of misfits. And before you know it, man, we're going to be in preseason football camp. Yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot happening, and we're excited to be covering it and looking forward to getting back on the road. And you're covering these Bulldogs as they make the trip. And so on Friday, again, we'll take another opponent preview, and then we'll, again, preview the official visit stuff. And anything that pops up between now and then, we'll discuss that as well. But I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And remember, if you've got any problems in your life, and if you consider harming somebody or even yourself, go sit down and talk to somebody. Because I can promise you, on behalf of the rest of the world, we would much rather sit and listen to you work through your problems and have to go to a funeral and hear everybody else work through how much you're going to miss you. I can promise you of that. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.